Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Powered by Taylor Construction Equipment. Whether you're looking to rent, lease, buy, or for service, contact Taylor Construction Equipment today at taylorconstructionequipment.com or call 662-446-1048. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. A little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Bendale.
Yeah, it would be a little weird.
You would not know what to expect if that were indeed the case. Wherever you are in our great state, if you want to enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning, just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Don't forget, with every purchase from Strange Brew Coffee House, you support the Bulldog Initiative. Speaking of that, our good friends over at Hip Printing and Signs want to remind you that whatever your business needs to get your message out there, they can help you with that. If you need signage on the front of your building, if you need to attract your customers to get in, they can do that for you. If you need to put out mailers, if you need to put out flyers, they can do that for you. Envelopes, forms, banners, windows and wall graphics, 3D signage, Pip Printing can do all of that for you. And then when you do business with Pip Printing, you just say, hey, heard about you on Thunder and Lightning. They're going to donate 10% of your sale to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. Now, that's a great deal for you, a great deal for the Bulldog Initiative. You can't go wrong. Call my friend Camden Baker at 601-499-5216 and check out what Pip Printing and Signs can do for your business. If you need printing or signs, call Pip today. College Corner and collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. And, I mean, it's cold outside, guys. So if you don't have a, if you didn't get a new Mississippi State pullover for Christmas, or, you know, if the ones you've got have got the banner M on there and you want to switch that out for state script or the M over S, well, then you need to make a trip to College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area to serve you. They're in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant. The best meal in town for lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch. It's at Restaurant Tyler. You know, we're getting that time of year where, you know, special occasions are going to be happening. We're only, you know, a month away, a little bit less from Valentine's Day. I would go ahead and make that reservation if I were you for Restaurant Tyler. I would go ahead and be ready and be prepared for that because it's going to be a busy night. You might as well just get ahead of it. If you're going to have a special occasion, or if you just want the special occasion to be a great meal, it's waiting for you at Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. And guys, if you want a bank that provides the small town feel with their service and the way they treat their customers, but also has everything that a big bank, a big corporate bank can offer you in terms of financial services, you want to talk about Priority One Bank. If you're already a Priority One Bank customer, you know about their app. It's smooth, streamlined. It's one of the best apps out there for banking. You do a lot more on there than just move your money around. Find a location near you. If you live in Central Mississippi, there's got to be one near you. Go to PriorityOneBank.com. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Today is January the 16th, as you're listening, of 2024, unless you're one of those, you know, listen right when I upload it type people, in which case we love you, but, you know, this doesn't apply. So it's January 16th, Robbie, which means we are exactly 30 days from the start of the college baseball season here in Starkville. February 16th, Mississippi State first pitch against the Air Force Academy, finally getting revenge against Paul Skeens. They're going to show him what's for. Oh, you want to go to LSU? Look what we do to this other school that you used to play at, huh? Watch this.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. No. All right. So if I recall, Robbie, last year we didn't get the first pitch time until like a week before the game. And then that held for like the first couple of series. When do we get first pitch time for this?
Week of,
so like February 12th.
Yeah, okay. Sounds right.
That's our over under on that one. We'll see.
We don't have a roster.
No.
Right now, no. We don't have times for games. What's going on here?
I literally went to pull up the roster, and the first person on there is KC Hunt, and I was like, "That's not right." Like, I need a roster, but it doesn't matter. Robbie and I, we are professionals, and we have toughed through it, and we've got what we've put together what we feel is a decent projected starting lineup. I've got some names for rotation, for the bullpen, for closer. So let's just go through it, man. Mississippi State baseball, but we got to start big picture here. I won't lie. I am surprised that Chris Lemonis is still the head baseball coach here. I think part of that is that Zach Selman, never having been at a school like Mississippi State, doesn't have a full grasp of what baseball is at Mississippi State. I don't know that John Cohen, by that same token, I don't know that John Cohen would have let Lemonis go either, because that was,
I don't think he would have.
That was his guy, and it's just an interesting situation. Lemonis won a national title 2 seasons ago, was on top of the college baseball world, and Mississippi State looked like it was poised to finally ascend to the nation's top program, where it felt like they could ever just get over the top and win that title, they would do that. Instead, it's been back-to-back years of not making the NCAA tournament. You and I were talking to somebody. I think we were just talking to maybe just a random fan the other day. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It was a guy from Alabama. It was a radio guy from
that's
Alabama.
Right, that's right. Yeah. When we were at the basketball game, this guy covered Alabama and just wanted to talk a little baseball with us. And we both said that, we think that it's not going to be a promising season. And somebody else and I were speaking, and I said, I think he'll be, or maybe it's the same guy. I said, I think he'll be safe if he makes the NCAA tournament. It really is something that, in this day and age of college baseball, where Mississippi State has all these facilities, has pumped all this money in the sport, that we're willing to say, okay, you can miss the tournament for 2 years, and then as long as you make it, you can be a 3 seed in the South, the UCLA regional, you're set, you're safe. It seems completely silly to me, to be honest with you. I mean, I feel like the goal should be you're going to host a super regional this year, or you're going to be gone. But I don't think this team can do that, to be honest with you.
Well, I think that's just way too unrealistic of an expectation to, and your counterpoint would probably be, well, he shouldn't be in this position. And I totally get that.
Correct me if I'm wrong on this. I hate to interrupt you, but it's an unrealistic expectation for this team. It's not an unrealistic expectation for this program.
Correct. Okay. And that's why I understand where you're coming from with that. I don't think that this team is one that I look at and I can say definitively they should be hosting a super regional. This program should be. You're exactly right. This program should be in that position. I think that, they've really kind of fallen back the last 2 years. Chris Lemonis probably presented his plan to Zach Selman as to why he thinks he can get them back on track and how he thinks they can get back on track. And Zach Selman has given him another year. And I believe if you show that you are trending upwards, I don't think they're going to fire Chris Lemonis. He's been afforded some grace. He's given you the first national championship in the history of the school. And I do think that means something, and it should.
It should.
So he's proven that he can win a championship. If he can prove that he is trending this team positively, I think they're going to continue to allow him to coach. I just I don't think that it's going to be a situation where Zach Selman says, you're hosting this year or you're out. I think that if they can get back in postseason play, they're showing that they've gotten better as far as competing inside the league. He's going to continue to be the coach here. Because, for one, you can throw it on Scott Foxhall. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know if Chris Amonis is that kind of guy where he's going to blame other people. I haven't seen that from him. He's a guy that usually takes, you know, takes initiative.
That is something that every press conference he was very, you know, this is on me. I've got to figure it out. Yeah.
But, I mean, you're trying to keep your job. You can easily say, look at the improvement we've made in 1 year without Scott Foxhall. Mm-hmm. He was what he was doing was the root of the problem. I'm just saying what his selling point could be to keep his job for another year. If they show incremental improvements on the mound, you can easily say that the pitching was your problem. And that's why things diminished the way that they did. And you got a new pitching coach. You've been recruiting better. You can sell a little better if they make the tournament. You can sell a little better to the transfer portal and things like that. So he's going to have a selling point if he's able to get back to postseason this year and the pitching staff looks much better.
So I mentioned the other day that I'd spoken to someone about baseball and they made this point to me. So this team last year offensively was okay, right? They were okay. They were good enough offensively to have won a lot more games than they did win. They were maybe the worst. It's kind of funny. We're about to have the same discussion we've been having about football. This is what we're going to go with this. They were the worst pitching team in the conference last year by far. They gave away more free bases than anybody in the conference, and it continually bit them.
Yeah.
And so this year, you know, if Foxhall was the problem, and you fix the problem, you bring in Justin Parker, who's a better pitching coach, you believe is a better pitching coach. It's sort of the same thing we're saying with football, right? They should be good enough offensively that if they're just average pitching, they'll win enough games to go into a region.
And I think the offense, if you look at the numbers, they weren't too impressive last year.
Mm-hmm.
I said over and over again, I think that those numbers were deceptive of how good that offense could have been and was at times because they were having to press. They were going to have to score a ton of runs.
Right.
So the people that made the point that, well, the offense sucked too, I think that you're overlooking the situation that they were in. At the beginning of the season, that offense was killing it. They were killing the ball. And SEC play, they had a lot of big numbers too from, you know, home run hitting from Hunter Hines and guys like that, Dakota Jordan. But whenever you get into the mindset, I just don't think people understand. When you know going into a ball game, you got to score a lot of runs because your pitching staff is not going to be able to hold a lead. It changes the whole mindset of an offense. Your approach at the plate is completely different. In 2021, when they knew that they were going to get a good start more often than not from Christian McLeod on Friday nights, and I know late in the season he wasn't as trustworthy as people thought, but he had a good season. When they knew they were going to get a good competitive start from Christian McLeod on Fridays, when they knew they had guys in the bullpen that could hold things down, their approach was completely different. They could be a little more loose. They knew at some point they would have a big inning or something like that. This team last year and the one before it too, they couldn't go into a ball game feeling that way. You were going to have to score a lot of runs to win that ball game. And I think that changed the offensive approach tremendously.
I think we need to go back and just reiterate how bad State was as a pitching staff a season ago. A team ERA, and this is all games. The conference stats are worse. All games, 7.01 ERA as a team. 321 walks in 453 innings. That's just insane. Teams hit .268 against them. That's a ton. I mean, these numbers are brutal.
That's crazy.
It makes me you mentioned 21, you know, and obviously that's a team that has, you know, a first round pick and a couple of first round picks on that thing. But well, looking at those stats there, I mean, It's ridiculous, the difference. Ridiculous. I'm trying to vamp here because Mississippi State website is just giving me issues here today.
It was the worst pitching performance in a season that we've ever seen.
In 21, it was a full 3 runs lower per game from 7 to 4. Teams hit 220 against the 21 team. Teams hit 268 last year against Mississippi State. So, again, if they can just be above average to average, if they could be around, if the ERA is around 5.5, if the...
That's bad.
That's not great. But if it's that would shave a run and a half off every game. If the goes from 268 to 245.
It's like I said last year, you know, Florida's pitching staff's numbers weren't great. Yeah. They went to the College World Series and had a chance to win a national title. You don't have to be a great pitching staff anymore.
We really are having the same discussion about football here. It's crazy.
Yeah. Offense has changed across the board in sports. Offense is exciting. Offense is, you know, what wins games. But if you can just be in a big moment, you can come up and get a strikeout, or you have a guy out of the bullpen that can stop a game for you. That's the key. You don't have to be a pitching staff that has an earned run average under 3 to be successful. That the game is different now. But you do have to be a pitching staff that has a good Friday night starter, has a good closer, has some pieces in there that at any given moment can come up and give you a big inning or something like that. You can't be leaking water right at all times. Because, you know, at the end of the day, the runs is what wins the ball game. So you're either scoring a lot of those to win a ball game or you're giving a lot of them up to lose them. Mississippi State gave a lot of them up last year. So you just got to be kind of average and let your offense do the rest.
So let's talk about, you know, what this team might look like this year in the field and on the mound. I think you've got some guys, obviously, you can just pencil right in. Hunter Hines is going to be at first base. No question about that. Dakota Jordan is going to be in one of the outfield spots, probably left if we had to make a guess. I feel like you can pencil David Mershon in at one spot, but we just don't know maybe off defensively where he's going to be. But he'll be in the lineup. There's no question about that. Ross Highfill at catcher, pencil him in. He's going to be there. And then you've got some spots where you've got some guys. You've got some proven guys, but we just aren't quite sure how they're going to fit in there. We'll start in the middle of the infield. Amani Larry, David Mershon, and then the true freshman Cup, Dylan Cup. Two of those three guys are your second baseman and your shortstop. Just as we sit here today, you probably can't tell who, and the loser of that is probably the DH, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would think. I think, you know, with Larry, Mershon, and Cup, those guys are going to be regularly in the lineup. Mm-hmm. Cup's probably the most gifted defender on the entire team. And he's got a few tangible things about him, intangibles, that you just can't teach. Mm-hmm. Leadership ability. He's got that, you know, dog in him. Jake Mangum type.
Yeah,
that guy's going to be on the field, but Mershon's kind of like that.
These are the same things you said a year ago about Mershon, so that's good though. It's a good thing to have.
And State needs those players again. They need the Tanner Allens, the Rowdy Jordans, the Jake Mangums. Nothing really rattles them. They can go win you a ball game. They need those kind of players. Like how Dylan Cup handles SEC pitching is kind of going to be the telltale. Now, we've seen guys that have come in, torn it up in non-conference, get to SEC play, and they fall off the map as freshmen. We've seen guys that Dakota Jordan was like it last year, struggled a little bit early on, really struggled to pick up, you know, breaking ball, and then all of a sudden it just kind of clicked for him. There's certain guys like that that they just kind of figure it out. Mm-hmm. Mershon did that. So I think Dylan Cup is one of those guys. It would shock me if he just kind of hit a brick wall and couldn't get over it. So I think he's going to be in the lineup somewhere regularly. The question becomes, what happens with Mershon and Larry?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good problem to have. You have Larry, who I thought was solid last year, has been a pretty good hitter for every team he's played for. That might be your DH. Mershon might move to second. I don't know. I like Mershon in the field. I like having a guy like that that can kind of improvise. You have those dirtbag type players. They'll go make a play for you. Now, you're going to have some miscues from them too, but more often than not, those guys are going to make some big plays for you. So I like him in the field. I'm very intrigued to see how that all sorts itself out. And that's easily the biggest position battle, is that middle infield going into the spring.
At third, this is where State was probably the most successful in the transfer portal and bringing in the Memphis kid, Logan Kohler, a guy who they feel like can provide some pop, provide a little more power in this lineup, have a chance to be that third home run hitter with Hines and Jordan, be another double-digit home run guy. That's what they're hoping for. But more than that, a guy who can improve you defensively at third base. That was that side of the infield was a problem last year, especially when Lane Forsythe was out there. They finally made the move, put him on the bench. They are just hopeful.
Well, Slade Alford.
I was getting to that. Slade Alford, I mean, now off to Georgia, where I think he can be a successful player, but as a third baseman, he was just awful defensively a season ago. You had guys fielding below 900. I mean, that is just incredible. Kohler is a guy that is, I mean, you can almost, again, another guy you can almost pencil in as a day one guy, barring it. Cup wouldn't go over to third, would he?
I've thought about that before,
Mershon.
But I think it's probably going to be Kohler. And he was really good in the fall.
Yeah.
I don't think defense is going to be an issue for him. And I think he'll be good enough offensively, you can keep him in the lineup. You know, Downs was another guy that could have played third base, but he's going to be out with Tommy John. And they used Nate Chester a little bit last year, but you need Kohler to work out. You need that guy to step up and be what you brought him in. State has had a guy out of the portal like that that has filled a role the last few years. That, I mean, you can say what you want to about the portal, but R.J. Yeager was excellent at second base and in that lineup. I thought Larry was really good last year replacing him. Didn't quite hit the numbers that he did, but I thought he was good.
Mm-hmm.
Kohler needs to have that kind of impact.
Yeah.
And I think he will. And I can't tell you how – we talk about the pitching. Let's talk about defense a little bit. I can't tell you how big of an impact that made on Mississippi State and their pitching staff.
Mm-hmm.
The pitching staff had some issues for the offense. The defense made things more difficult for the pitching staff last year.
Yeah.
You don't have trust in your defense behind you. And not being able to make plays routinely at third base was a big part of that. That's a big position. State's had trouble finding third basemen over the years, really since Jared Parks. I mean, it's been kind of a struggle to find a good lockdown third baseman.
Yeah.
Hopefully Logan Kohler is able to do that.
Slade Alford fielded at an 835 clip last year. I know. Lane Forsythe was at 884, 15 errors. Between the two of them, they had 28 errors. State had 65 Yikes. Errors in 53 games. So basically, they were averaging an error per game. I mean, never mind.
And what's crazy,
when I said they gave away three bases, it wasn't just walks. It was defensive problems as well.
And if you look back, you know, national championship, didn't commit an error in the College World Series. It is the number one reason why they won the national championship. They didn't make errors and everybody else did. Vanderbilt could not field.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was the not going from the turf to natural grass and dirt. I don't know. But Vanderbilt made a ton of errors in those two losses that they had. That was a huge part of why they won it. 2022, State had a top 10 defense, I think, nationally.
Mm-hmm. They were good.
Defense was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Last year was a complete disaster. I don't know what happened.
And there was a third issue defensively last year, and that was the inability to throw runners out when they stole. Luke Hancock, for all he gave Mississippi State in terms of leadership, was just a defensive liability a season ago. So they're hopeful.
Careful.
I don't sweat him.
Good thing you have your DMs locked.
That's why. That's why. I see Highfield, you know, just being better at that, being able to, you know, patrol, to keep the base pads a little bit under lockdown a little bit more.
And he had some struggles last year too, but he was a true freshman.
Yeah.
Some people were hard on him. Like, this is a true freshman catching, you know, 95, 96 consistently for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the sliders and the changeup, I mean, it's just a lot different than what you experience in high school baseball.
Yeah. When you look at the outfield, I think for sure, you know, obviously Dakota Jordan is in Sharpie. He's not going anywhere. The little two spots, it feels like there's some fluidity. Connor Hijack is one, you know, played some center in the fall, and you think maybe he's going to get that spot. And then, you know, the guy that nobody talks about, he had a good season last year, and then he kind of got Wally Pipped, what was Bryce Chance, who just every time he came up, he seemed like he was hitting the baseball, but they just had so many guys back there. And last year, you knew that Kellum Clark, Colton Ledbetter, Dakota Jordan were your starting. Outfield, Hunter Hines was DHing. There just wasn't a spot in the lineup for Chance. I think this year he's going to be a starter and be a guy who contributes a good deal.
Yeah, this seems like his moment to step in, because there's just – you look at the rest of the guys competing out there, I don't see anybody that's going to overtake him.
Mm-hmm.
Connor Hijack had a really good summer. You hope that he has a Colton Ledbetter type year. Ledbetter had that big summer when you brought him in out of Samford last year. Maybe you can get even a quarter of that production from Connor Hijack. And Ledbetter was really good in center. It looks like Hijack's going to have his chance this year. And speaking of chance, Bryce has his opportunity too, either in left or right field. I think he or Dakota Jordan can flip, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But you have three solid pieces there, defensively and offensively. And it really sucked for Bryce Chance last year because he was one of their best hitters. Mm-hmm. He batted 330, 33 hits in 36 games, four doubles, two home runs, 22 RBI, 444 on base.
Mm-hmm.
He was really good. And if you look at what he was doing before he went out, let's see, when did he go out? It was before for SEC play, right?
Yeah, he got hurt. Let's see here.
He was batting 379.
Yeah.
And he had a hit in every game but three.
Mm-hmm.
So he was kind of the pleasant surprise, you know, the guy that I believe walked on from MRA, and as a redshirt freshman, I feel terrible for the kid because he redshirts, works his butt off, becomes a starter for Mississippi State, and then goes down with an injury, which I believe happened when he was diving for a ball.
Mm-hmm.
And Dakota Jordan, I think, was the one that came in and kind of took his place.
Yeah.
But again, just about every time he came back in the game, he did something for State. Yeah. So I think he's going to have a big year.
When he got hurt, and he finished at 330. So, I mean, yeah, he took some lumps in SEC play, but a lot of that is he went 0 for 1. He just got one at bat, you know, and couldn't do anything with it. He also fits that mentality you were just talking about. That sort of that dirt bag, dirt on the uniform kind of mentality. Bryce Chance is also that kind of player. You mentioned Rowdy Jordan. He's got some Rowdy Jordan in his game, in my
opinion. Yeah, he does. Yeah, I'm really interested in that outfield group. Not a ton of guys behind him that have proven anything. But, you know, Michael O'Brien, I think, has a chance to be good, the freshman mm-hmm. outfielder. And we'll see on everybody else. I like this freshman class, too, by the way. I think they have a chance to be really good. That's back-to-back freshman classes with some impact players in them.
So if we look at opening day, if I said starting lineup, Hines at first, Larry at second, Mershon at short, Kohler at third, outfield is Hijack, Jordan, Chance, DH is Cup, and behind the plate is Highfield. You feel like that's about right?
I still think that Cup is going to start. I just have a feeling.
I think he'll be in the lineup. Okay.
Yeah. And I think he'll be in the field.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So you think Mershon and Cup second and short, and then Larry DHing?
Or Mershon DHing.
Okay.
I just don't know. I want to see some practices too.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll see. All right. Let's switch gears and talk pitching. We'll move into that. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it's what's for dinner. Hey, if you're going to be grilling out at Duty Noble Field this season, you can definitely want to put some beef out there on the grill. You will be the envy of the left field lounge, and everybody comes by and sees those big ribeyes you're cooking up on the grill. Anytime you can put some beef out there, you know, I mean, they're the ones who sponsor the pitching changes, too. So hopefully we'll see a little bit less of the Mississippi Beef Council's advertising this year. Mississippi State can get some innings out of some guys. But we can definitely support them by cooking out and putting some red meat on the grill. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. Simple as this, guys. You're in Starkville for anything. This weekend, Mississippi State basketball versus Vanderbilt. If you're going to be here, you need to make a trip to Brothers. That place is fantastic. There's a reason, you know, they were in a small location. Now they're in a big location, and even the big location, they've got a line out the door. There's a reason for that. It's because the food is some of the best in town, and they take care of their customers, and they're a Bulldog Initiative business. So it's a win-win-win with some smoked Southern soul food at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products and great service. It's what every business likes to promise you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 49 years. Imagine being open that long. You know how you do that? It's because you take care of your customers. When you make a sale, they know they can call you back if there's a problem and that you'll take care of it. That's how you build repeat business. That's how you keep your doors open for nearly a half century. If you need new technology for your business, you need to call Advantage Business Systems today. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. The Collegiate Collection at the Rogue, they have the pullovers and polos you want for 2024. You don't want the banner M. That's over. That's done. Go ahead and take that to the Palmer Home Store. We're done with that. We're getting new gear. We're getting state script. We're getting M over S. We're getting interlocking, and we're getting it from the road. Great styles, great name brands, and the logos that you want. Don't live the three-stripe life. Shop at the Rogue. We come to it now with the pitching staff, Robbie. This is where, if it's better this year, Mississippi State can be a postseason team. If it's not, Mississippi State will undergo a coaching search. It is really that simple, the equation for me. If I told you today, if I said today, your opening weekend rotation is Colby Holcomb, Gerangelo Sanjay, and Kyle Steven. What do you think?
I would say no.
Okay. You tell me your three.
Carson Ligon. You forgot about him.
No, I've got him written down. I just don't have him in my
first. Oh, he's definitely a starter.
Okay. You know, I think he might the first week be the midweek guy. So
I think he's gonna start. Guy.
Okay.
The question to me is Cal Steven and Holcomb.
Mm-hmm.
And where's Bradley Lofton eventually in this equation? Is he going to take that step?
Well, we'll get to Lofton. Do you think Steven could be the Friday night guy?
I don't know.
Okay.
I figured Ligon would be pushing for that.
Really? Okay.
But I don't know. Again, this is like I've got to see these guys pitch on a weekend before I start really breaking them down.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you got other pieces that you got to fill here with this team. You know, like I said, Lofton showed a lot of promise last year in the midweek, and then it looked like maybe he had some kind of injury, shoulder injury, I think, last year. That limited him late in the season. They weren't able to really max out his innings. So how does he come back from that? You know, what takes shape out of the bullpen? They're hoping to get Pico Cohn back later.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of guys.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're going to be better, but what is it? I like Cam Schulke a lot. Evan Sierra showed a lot of promise. last year out of the bullpen. Stone Simmons is back. That's going to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also got Brooks Auger back too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so from a numbers perspective and even in experience, you're going to have more experience and better numbers this year.
Right. The word I used a lot with pitching staff last year was systemic, right? It was not just one guy having a problem and it was they're building. Everybody was walking guys. Everybody was giving away free bases. So when you want to try to sell me on the idea that Foxhall was the problem, that makes it kind of an easy sell. That the fact that everybody was having these problems means it had to be coaching, right? So
yeah.
You've got some power arms here. Holcomb is a guy who's got this kind of tools that could be a high draft choice. Sanjay, I'm interested this year. Does he continue to try to go both hands, or does he just settle in with his right arm, which appears to be the better option for him? Last year it never really came together for him. Now he's a true freshman out there throwing SEC innings. That's going to be tough for anybody who's not an elite talent. But you want to see him and Lofton take that step forward. Then you mentioned the two transfers as far as your starters. I think you got five guys here between Holcomb, Sanjay, Steven, Ligon, and Lofton that you can find a good starting three and then a couple guys to give you innings on the midweek. I feel really good about those guys. Then you mentioned Brooks Auger and Stone Simmons returning. I think that's huge, huge pieces. Did you mention Nate Dome?
No, I didn't. Nate Dome.
Nate Dome, yeah.
His dad listens to our show, so
that's right. I don't want to get that guy going.
No, but I don't see him as a starter. I think
I think he is. I think he is your long relief guy. I think that he's the guy who can come in and get you six outs.
He's kind of a jack of all trades.
Yeah, he can start if you need him. He can close if you need him. I think I thought last year he had some moments where he was dominant out there, just absolutely dominant. And then he had some moments where it got away from him a little bit. If he can take a step forward, I mean, he's still a young player. If he can take a step forward this year, he could be a real difference maker for Mississippi State.
Well, I know his dad was talking on the message board one day about how much they had loved like the work that they had been putting in with Justin Parker, and he's kind of tweaking some things. I think he's got another pitch he's working on. So he could take a big step in his development this year. It's one thing to just throw really hard, which he can do. It's another thing to develop some of those other pitches that makes you less unpredictable. And I'm not saying he was totally predictable because he did have some other pitches, but when a guy like that comes in that's throwing hard, sometimes you have the tendency to really lean on that a little bit. He's becoming, I think, a more well-rounded pitcher under Justin Parker. And another thing with his pitching staff, like, I just want to see them attack hitters, attack the zone some form or fashion, whether that be with a fastball up in the zone or, hitting your spots or whatever, or if you can throw, your breaking balls for strikes. I just got tired of seeing a 3-2 count and a slider in the dirt or, a slider underneath the zone. Like, that just drove me insane. You have a 3-2 count, don't put the guy on base, and they were nibbling around the zone or trying to get somebody to offer a breaking ball out of the zone. It just didn't work. And teams had the book on it.
Yeah.
Teams knew what was coming on those pitches.
It wasn't even that, too, Robbie, though. It wasn't even just 3-2 they were doing. They were doing that on 1-2, where you should be really trying to, throw the fastball and challenge the hitter.
Yeah.
And Mississippi State would just nibble, and then it was 2-2, and then it was 3-2. And then, like you said, 3-2, they're still throwing those off-speed pitches. So, yes, I agree with that.
Here's another guy that I'm excited about. I'm just really, really curious to see what they do with is Nolan Stevens.
Okay.
He's a true freshman,
mm-hmm.
can play in the field, can really swing it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a pitcher, too. He's a left-handed pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
So what do they do with this kid? He is a really well-built kid. Was a guy that a lot of people were kind of surprised came to school. He was one that many thought would not make it to school. 6'3", 215, was an All-American out of a high school in California. State was able to sneak him in because I think, he wanted to play two ways.
Mm-hmm.
and Mississippi State was going to give him that opportunity. So, you know, mid-90s fastball, low to mid-90s fastball from the left side, big physical kid. He is an intriguing prospect to me. And I think he plays this year in some form or fashion.
I seem to recall you talking about Hunter Hines in similar terms. Not obviously not the two-way player, but you were convinced that he was going to make a big impact as a true freshman, and obviously he did. Do you think that Stevens could become a player like that in this lineup? Because where does he fit in?
Yeah, see that's my thing. I don't know if it's in this lineup. I think his contribution this year could be on the mound. I think he could be a guy that they bring in situations. You know, he's a lefty, so you can bring him in, and they don't have a guy who was Tapper. Remember they brought in Tapper a lot last year? Well, yeah. He's transferred out.
Yeah.
Could he provide some of that, what Brock Tapper did last year, or even more?
Mm-hmm.
I think that he's going to have, you know, a couple of opportunities to do that.
We shall see. We shall see. This pitching staff, it just has to be better. It just has to be better. And if they can figure that out, they have a chance there to keep this thing going. But if they're not, I mean, we're gonna spend June and July talking about who's the next head coach at Mississippi State baseball.
Well, for the sake of all the people that get so upset about us for being so negative,
which they do,
they need to win.
Yeah, win some games.
Hey, guess what? If you want to hear us say positive things,
yeah.
Mississippi State needs to do positive things.
Yeah,
that's kind of like how that works.
I can't turn chicken, you know what, into chicken salad. I can't do it. All right, all I can do is tell you that I got chicken, you know what. So
yeah,
so we'll figure it out. All right, so 30 days away. Mississippi State, I'll just go ahead and tell you, first pitch is going to be like at 2 o'clock, all right? It's going to be freezing cold. They're going to have to do it in the daytime. It's just the way it is.
Are they not setting the weekend schedule because there's a basketball game that weekend?
It's a good question. Let's see.
State plays Arkansas on Saturday. I'm not sure what the women do Sunday, but
let's take a look. So
they could be waiting to set the whole weekend.
All right, so Mississippi State.
But you know, you already know the time.
You know the times for, yeah, you know the times for basketball already. So Mississippi State men's basketball against Arkansas that weekend is at 1 on Saturday. And then the women on Sunday are, they are at Oxford. So that's not an issue.
Okay.
So
you play, you probably need to play.
Oh,
that game at like 4 on four. Saturday.
4 sounds right. Yeah, you just come right over after that, and then you I mean, it's gonna be cold, but you can at least be done by like 7, hopefully, and you're not too bad off. But in reality, Robbie, like to get around that, if you want to keep people from being super cold, you need to play a doubleheader either on Friday or on Sunday, and start at like 11.
Oh,
but.
Who knows? Who knows what the weather's going to be like? We never know.
That's true. It could be like 65 degrees. Who knows, you know? So we'll see. All right, guys. 30 days till opening day. We're looking forward to it. Hope you guys are too. You know what tomorrow is. It's the rumblings. Get your questions in. We'll be happy to answer them. And we'll see. Tomorrow's Wednesday. So they play basketball on Wednesday. So we'll recap Mississippi State Kentucky on Thursday's show. All right, guys. Have a great Tuesday. Try to stay warm. Try to stay safe if you're out on the road. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.